Psalm meditation today is in Psalm 62. This is for the chief musician, to Yeduthun, and it is a Psalm of David. We read, of course, as we normally do, from the New King James. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely, men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. In this psalm, we see David being moved by the Spirit to look to the one who is his alone rock and strength, who is his alone salvation. Why, this echoes somewhat, doesn't it? Or we maybe should say, if we look at things on a timeline, when they were written, it anticipates, actually, some of what we were looking at just this past week in Isaiah 45. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. That's what Jehovah said, and we pointed out how it was to Jesus, it is to Jesus that we are to be looking. And here it is that David is moved to do so as well. Now, there are a couple of parts to this psalm. We have in each one an acknowledgement and a praise of God, who is the only rock, the only strength, the only deliverer, in contrast with man. We see then this opening here in verses 1 and 2, truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, of course, we know that throughout the Scripture, God is described as a rock. And we see in the capstone, we might say, of the Scriptures, that Jesus is that rock. He, and the confession of Him as the Son of God, is the rock upon which His church is built, as we see in Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18. He is the rock from which the water flowed in the desert. He is the head cornerstone, spoken of in Psalm 118 and spoken of by Jesus Himself, the cornerstone, the select stone which the builders rejected, looking, of course, to the Jewish leaders of His day. And He is a rock of stumbling to the reprobate. But He is the shadow of a rock in a weary land. All this is speaking of Jesus Christ. From Him, of course, and by Him is David's and our salvation. He is, in fact, the Savior, the one who does the delivering, the one who does the rescuing, the one who does the salvation. by coming to earth and living in our place. His perfection goes on our account. We have perfect righteousness because of Him. It is no wonder that He is called, as we saw last week by Paul in Romans 10, verse 4, the one who is the end of the law for righteousness. It is no wonder that Jeremiah, looking ahead, called Him Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He is the one who by His life has given us righteousness. He is the one who by His atoning death on the cross paid for the penalty which we have earned by our sin. He is the one who paid the penalty of our guilt to the last farthing. And do you remember, children, my talking about that? Remember my talking in the sermon about taking a penny and cutting it into quarters, into fourths? Jesus paid it down to that much all the way, which is why on the cross He could and did say, quoting from Psalm 31, "Into Thy hands I commend my spirit," which is why He could and did say, "It is finished," tetelestai in the Greek. It has been finished, a legal term speaking of the paying off utterly and completely of a debt. He is the alone rock and Savior, who having accomplished salvation, who having paid the penalty for sin, is now raised from the dead, which we commemorate every New Testament Sabbath day. Because our salvation is complete in Him. He is our defense, and we shall not be greatly moved. We may be shaken a little bit. Just yesterday, Judy and I went with Nathaniel to this place in the Hoosier National Forest, to this old, now no longer used, fire watchtower. And Nathaniel went all the way to the top to get some great photographs. And I don't know what hit me. Normally this doesn't bug me all that much, but as I'm climbing the stairs, they started wiggling a little bit. And I got a little spooked, and I had to, after only a couple of courses of stairs, go back down. But though those stairs were wiggled, and though they were just a little bit jiggly, those steel stairs, yet for 70 years that tower has been standing, and it still stands today. I was not greatly moved, and my son was able to go to the top, because it was firmly founded despite my fears, you see. And so it is that we in Jesus Christ, though we may fear at times and think perhaps that our foot is sliding, yet He delivers us and we cannot be greatly moved. Now that tower may someday be blown over. That tower may have bolts that will rust, and it may cataclysmically, catastrophically fall. I hope no one's on it when it does. But if that should happen, it never shall with Jesus. That is the burden of what we see in verses 5 through 7 as well. Similar words, exactly the same sort of sentiment here. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now, in contrast to this, first of all, we're told, don't worry about those who seek to attack you and fellow believers. Don't worry about those who come in array against Christ and His church, for they shall be flattened. How long will you attack a man, we see in verse 3 and 4. You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. Children, have you ever seen one of those? A wall that's not been put together very well, a stone wall perhaps, or maybe it is one that's just been there a long time and it's starting to fall over. Or maybe you've seen a rickety old fence that was put together many, 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 many years ago, before your grandpa, for example, was even born. and it's not been taken care of, and it's easily pushed away. And you can see some of the strands are broken, and some of the posts are leaning at crazy angles. All right? Well, that's what the mighty persecutors of Christ's church shall be. They talk to cast him down, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. But they shall not prevail, because he, Jesus Christ, has triumphed. As well, we see in verses 9 through 12, on the one hand, don't fear people. On the other, don't trust people. Why, even when they are seeking good things, you can't trust in the common people. That's what some politicians try to tell us to do. Trust in the common people. Trust in and support the 99%. But men of low degree are a vapor. And don't trust in the 1% either, because men of high degree are a lie. If their weight on the scales are altogether lighter than vapor. Children, have you ever seen your parents, or maybe you yourself, have you ever made tea? And you put water in the kettle, right? And you turn on the burner. And after a while, all that vapor starts coming out, right? When it's starting to boil. You have that steam. How much does that weigh? How much does that steam weigh? A whole bunch? Is it really heavy? Do you hear it go clunk as it hits the kitchen floor with a thud? Does it leave a dent there? Or put a hole through it as it careens down through into the basement? What ridiculous questions. Steam just kind of floats away and disappears, and that's the way it is with the help of man. Don't trust in them when they say, well, we're going to increase our power. We're going to increase our greatness. And we're going to get lots of money by stealing and robbing and lying and thieving. Come along with us. You'll make lots of money. You'll get lots of power. You'll get everything you ever wanted. Don't trust in such. No. In verse 8, we see trust in him and no one else. At all times, you people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, think about it. And there in the last two verses, God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Not to people, not to money, not to confederations and conspiracies, to God. Also to, O Lord, belongs mercy. Right there is something very special as we conclude this meditation. For we deserve no salvation. We deserve no deliverance, no rescue. We deserve no good thing at God's hand. It is in his mercy, a quality of God, that in pity does not give us what we deserve. In mercy, we receive salvation. In mercy and grace, he sent Jesus to live for us, die for us, and be raised again for us. Because without that mercy, if we only got fairness, if we only got justice, we would find to us, rendered to each of us, according to our work. And oh, what a horrible thing that would be. But in God is mercy. In God is grace. In God is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. As David looked to him as the rock and the Savior, so must you. Don't put your trust in any man. Don't be overwhelmed by the oppression of persecutors. Don't be overwhelmed by the accusations of the devil. Take yourself to the rock and rest in his shade. Take yourself to the Savior and rely upon him and upon him only. In him is mercy. In him is forgiveness. In him is life. Like David, wait for him. Look to him and live in him. Let's sing now.